Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
How are you, Shannon? Great to have you here and joining us this morning.
Hi, Dawn. Thank you. Yes, it was an exciting game yesterday, wasn't it? Leading by a lot.
So are you guys, do you guys have school this morning?
Yes, we do. My kids actually had to go to school earlier for something they're involved with. So they were there at 8 o'clock this morning, elementary. Yeah.
So I just wanted to get an update from you because I know there's so much going on, and this, as you know, on a national level, we're talking about education and revamping things. And we had seen each other at that great event with Riley Gaines, actually. So a whole lot has happened since we last saw each other in person, although obviously we've talked.
Yes. So just to give an update to the community and to you, I mean, North Penn, the thing that I've been focusing on is the current school board directors and also the investigation into the attack on the Pembroke student that happened last year. North Penn had an investigation done over the summer, and the findings were just released as a summary by the solicitor in November of the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
What I find odd is that it was only released on a Zoom meeting to the Safe Schools Committee. It was never actually brought to an action meeting on the floor in front of all of the school board directors, which I am going to push for them to bring that there because a lot of the community watch and go to those meetings instead of the Safe Schools Committee meeting on Zoom. But what I actually did was I'm part of North Penn United. We're an organization that helps get conservative school board directors elected, and we're hoping to have at least one or two or three on the board this year in this election. But what we did was we submitted, it was myself personally that submitted the request, a right-to-know request asking for the investigation report. We were denied the request, and then we also went ahead and appealed it with the state. So through the appeal process, I didn't think that we were going to win the appeal process because there is something that says if it's a non-criminal investigation that the school board direct hired an investigator to do, that it does not have to be held to the public. It can be confidential. So the appeal process came back, the Office of Open Records, saying that it is not confidential, meaning it allows but does not require the agency to withhold records. It is the discretion of the school board to release the information. And however, the Office of Open Records does not have the authority to actually make them release the records. So that being said, I did get one documentation, and it's a draft, and I never saw it at an action meeting or anything. They did send me a draft, and the draft says two scenarios: students returning from out of placement, district out of placement, which kind of what I'm looking to dive into because I'm not worried. I don't want to find out anything about the students involved or anything that violates the FERPA, the Family Educational Rights to Privacy. I'm more looking at to how did this student get back into the schools because we have it all the time, out of placement. And I think the district doesn't want to pay for out of placement or they don't have the correct out of placement facilities that they can, you know, send some of these violent students to that need either mental health or need discipline more than what we can provide. So this document they sent to me says it's a draft, and it says students returning from out-of-district placement. It gives two scenarios saying, like, what they should do differently if a kid is or a student is brought back to the district from out-of-district placement. But then it kind of alludes me to the fact that are they admitting then that this was caused by somebody dropped the ball somewhere and their duties of putting this kid back into the school district. So I am diving deeper into that because that's what I really want to know is like what actions were taken and to bring kids back in from out of district placement, what actions were taken then? And then is this draft actually adopted and voted on?
And Shannon, if I could let me just interject really quick, just because if somebody's just joining us, you know, I just want to just do a refresh and reset real quick here that this was last April. It was like April 19th-ish, and we had a situation where it was in the school cafeteria. The kids had reported that they were concerned that there was a student who was making threats, and they were fearful of this. Then, sure enough, in the lunchroom, a 12-year-old little girl was in the lunchroom, and from behind, a 13-year-old student who was alleged to have fairly recently just been being transferred to the school had approached the, and this was captured on video, had approached the 12-year-old victim with one of those thick Stanley, you know, a stainless steel cup, which is very large, and slammed her in the head with it. That resulted in, obviously, she needed the stitches or the staples in her head. It was a horrifying and scary situation. There was a whole controversy about it. I just wanted to give that update. And then, in fact, when the 13-year-old went to court, the 13-year-old was accused, even in the juvenile court, of trying to, or actually lashing out at the law enforcement officers. And so this was a pretty alarming situation for middle school parents and students. So I just wanted to give that refresh just in case somebody's not up to date with this was a huge story before the end of the school year last year that we were just updating on. So go ahead, Shannon. Right. I just wanted to give that important update.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, thank you. And it is a huge story. And it's, I mean, stuff like this does continue to happen every day in our schools. So that's why I'm still advocating for something to change within our schools, within our district. I mean, not just within North Penn, but the findings that were, there was a summary of the findings of this investigation that took all summer that were done at the Safe Schools Committee meeting. And the solicitor even said that, that there was, harmful effects of social media, things happening that are outside of school on social media that spill over into school were his direct words. And as part of the investigation, they found that social media also played a part in this. Mm-hmm. And recently, in my whole community in North Penn, there has been school board directors that have also then been bullying the community and community members on social media, doing the exact thing of what we're trying to tell our students and kids and children not to do on social media. We have a school board director that's currently ignoring the solicitor's warnings of the dangers of social media and using social media to bully people in the community. He's even made a comment on social media that says, I'm part of a group you don't want to F with, is what he said. Jeez. On a social media post. So if we're trying to teach our kids and we just passed an anti-bullying policy and bullying played a part in this within the schools, and they even say that it spills over from things outside of school that happen on social media, spill over to the next day in school. Why are we not leading by example and showing our students what they should be doing and holding our school board officials and elected officials accountable? This director is also a teacher in the Springfield Area School District. Mm-hmm. He's on social media mocking Catholics, mocking people of the community. I want to get to the bottom of it. I actually did email the school board, the other school board directors, asking them if they, you know, condemn this behavior and is this the way like politics are going to go in our local community? You're going to start bullying everybody to push them out, make people, I mean, people then don't want to speak up. Yeah, it deters people from speaking up at the meetings. It deters people from coming to the meetings or making a comment on social media because if it's not what they agree with. And the response I got was,
What is there? I know that the police were called and they were involved in as far as the assault that happened on the 12-year-old. So are the police ever invited to any of these meetings? And what is their advice? Because I will tell you, police all the time, law enforcement at varying levels, tell me that, in fact, social media is absolutely a factor, an incendiary device, if you will, for some of these situations escalating. And that's why in most, especially high schools, I know of, private and public, they are really moving toward, you know, really clamping down on the social media and the phone use for multiple reasons, obviously loss of learning and all that stuff, but also because of what we're talking about. So do you ever, I mean, have you ever invited law enforcement or would that be appropriate to just get their actual take on this because they are trained in some of these areas?
Yeah, that's actually a good idea. I have to look into that further. I do know that there is some sort of meeting that meets like once a month or something that has local law enforcement that attend them. I mean, North Penn did crack down, they said, on cell phone use, especially in the middle schools. Yeah. They are sticking to a policy, which I do think that, you know, I'm an advocate for that. I think the cell phone should be put away during the classroom time. There's so many pictures and videos of everything going on all day long that the kids are so worried about in the class. And, yeah, I mean, local law enforcement should get involved to start talking about this. But when people of our own elected officials are acting in the same way, right. I mean, we're not teaching these kids anything. And these kids actually follow some of these elected officials on social media, on Twitter, on X, and on Facebook and Instagram. I mean, they're seeing it happen. So they're thinking that, you know, if they're doing it, why the heck do I not have to? Why do I have to do it?
Yeah, and part of this, Shannon, I will tell you, is that you'd be surprised. I think it's a lack of policy. And I've seen people on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, who are doing something that, you know, somebody doesn't approve of. But there's really, in most of these districts, there's not a policy. And so maybe, you know, in part, the parents need to get together with the school. I know you have some new school. Isn't there a new school board president, I want to say? Are there some new board members?
There's a new school board president. Yep, they just had their reorg, and there's a new school board president. I don't think that the current president, Mrs. Stoll, is running for re-election. I did get an email back from the president of the school board. She said that, you know, as a whole, they reviewed the posts made by the school board director, Mr. Fusco, and that it's clear that it was out of his lens of a committed community member, not his lens for our school district. Mm-hmm. And it's clear that he's passionate and committed to his school district and his students. I mean, I don't care what lens you're looking out of. Right. I mean, I'm using this as an example to my kids. If you have to actually bleep out a profanity out of a text or a social media post, then the little red light should go off to my kids, a red flag, and say, I shouldn't be posting this.
Yeah, and I mean, look, at most private workplaces, you know, my workplace, if you know what I mean, like we usually have some kind of policy, we're trained on it, and it's probably a good idea, especially in a litigious society, if for no other reason, then maybe board members have to go through a little training, you know, things like that is not a bad idea so that you can kind of rein in all different people, that like what you're saying, to not try to solve problems or do things on social media. I wanted your take on a national level, as far as the word that in the past administration, we now know through all of the research and the studies that earmarked for things like DEI, $1 billion that we know of that was dedicated toward that. And then it goes all the way K through 12 and yes, higher ed, we've seen it. But what's your reaction to that? Are you surprised by it? And Shannon, we've had private conversations about it as well, but just the idea of what's happening, indoctrination in the classroom, and just so many different levels of this, and what your feeling is as far as getting rid of this and going more toward local control or state control rather than these federal programs that have already implemented over the past 4 years, all of this DEI programming that they've infused into the schools, into the classroom.
Yeah. So, I mean, just like you said about policy for the elected school board directors, I would assume there should also be a policy on the individual teachers and what they're allowed to talk about in the classrooms. Mm-hmm. We've spent so much time, in at least my district, on this DEI, the diversity, equity, inclusion, the DEI stuff, that I feel like other things have gone to the wayside. During when the students have half days and there's an in-service day for teachers and we talk about this DEI, I mean, our kids are still not proficient in reading and writing and math. Where is the focus on, you know, all the threats and intimidation and how to handle threatening situations or how to handle the kids that can't read and bring them up to speed and implement new things like that? We're so focused on, I mean, I don't know if you watched the news, but there was just also an aide that was arrested for choking a child on the bus.
Yes.
I mean, as far as the hiring and the merit part of things, I mean, like, we should be hiring based on merit. I don't think that we should have, I mean, I don't know who does the hiring, that the school board directors are involved, or just it's HR, or how their hiring process works, but we've had a couple different aides and different things hired because we need help in our district, and I don't think that they were hired correctly. We need to hire based on merit, and I think the DEI, if they want to focus a little bit on inclusion, I mean, do I feel included in our school district right now? Do my kids? I mean, everybody feels like they're not included in some ways. It should be a focus on everyone, not just certain individuals.
How are the kids doing with, you know, in the wake of all of this, and also what's the reaction? Because now, you know, and so many parents, and as you know, Shannon, there were parents who didn't want to be identified, but they're thrilled now to see that, you know, we have the order restored, if you will, and girls and women are protected in sports. There were many who showed up for that Riley Gaines meeting. What's your reaction to all of that? And is there a reaction or a sense of relief from parents as well as female athletes and students?
I mean, I think there is a little bit of relief from female athletes and students. As you can see, I mean, there have been different things posted. North Penn, though, has doubled down that they're not going to change their policy. So within North Penn, I don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. They were so quick to adopt the Title IX changes when they first came out through Biden, but they're not so quick now to make any changes. There's a school board meeting coming up, I believe, next week on the 20th. It's a Thursday. Hoping that they're going to discuss that in some form or capacity. But, I mean, in the schools, the whole all of the politics in the schools, I mean, my children know which teachers are Democrat, Republican, which teachers don't care about things. I mean, that shouldn't be happening in our schools. They're there to teach them, I mean, the basics. When we're behind and not proficient in reading, and we're behind and not proficient in math in almost all of our schools, that's where the focus should be. I mean, I do talk about politics outside of work and outside of different things, but when it comes to the teaching the students in the school district, and even on the local level, I mean, things that happen in our local community are not always affected by national things. Like our local community, our kids going to school, it should be based on hiring and voting for elected officials based on their merit as well.
Yeah. Yeah, which brings up then school choice. And I think that's why school choice and all of that is another way that a lot of this DEI stuff will be exposed. Because I think right now, I just think that people don't realize, and I'm speaking about progressives, I think a lot of progressives don't realize how deep an issue this is. For parents, by the way, who are Democrats and Republicans, they just want to get the politics and the agenda stuff out of the schools and just have the kids learn and be empowered. You know what I mean? I just think there are so many parents of all different political persuasions who hate all this politicization of it.
Yes, yes. And I really urge people to get involved and at least I feel like our district knows we have eyes and ears on everything. I get emails all the time from different people that are afraid to send in information to the school board directly. So they email us at our npennunited@gmail.com email. They can email us there. They can go on our Facebook page. We have an X page now and Instagram. But we do have to get people involved. I mean, the school district promised all these parents that were outraged last year, promised that they would release the investigation report. The superintendent promised the community, we're going to do an investigation, we're going to release a report. And then they shove it under the rug. Like, no one's talking about it anymore. The report just got done. And, I mean, no one wants to talk about it. They just want to push it aside. They haven't even brought it to an action meeting. I mean, and they're just moving on with their political agenda, I feel, within our district. And it is an election year. Unfortunately, I feel like it's going to be a messy election year because they're some people are just bullies and they don't care who they hurt or what they say. I mean, when is enough enough? I mean, we say hate has no home here. Everybody says that. You hear that all over the place.
Here we go again.
To bully each other.
Well, listen, Shannon, I thank you so much. I think about my sons went to this little, you know, grade school run by the, K through 8, the Sisters of St. Joseph, and it was a magical time of life. It really was a magical place. And I'm so sorry that you have the stress. I can even hear it in your voice when we talk, and it shouldn't be like that. These are such precious times that parents, you know, you sign up as a volunteer, get your clearances, you can volunteer and you're as a lunch mom, you know, that sort of thing. I'm sorry that parents like you who you just love your kids and you want to protect them, that you have to deal with all of this. It's wrong.
Yes. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for having
me on.
Thank
you so
much.
Thanks, Shannon. Really appreciate it.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.